You are listening to the Dharma Ocean podcast. This week, Reggie addresses the experience of groundlessness that often occurs when we engage in intensive meditation practice. He explains how we can trust those moments when we lose our sense of identity, and encourages us to open to the uncertainty we feel when we encounter the vast space of our being.
In our normal way of taking our sense perceptions, we have a tremendous investment in what we see, what we smell, what we taste, what we touch, what we hear. And therefore, we don't see anything. And we don't taste anything. What we taste is our own projections. What we see is our own projections. We never actually see the world. We never truly hear the world. We don't taste the world, touch the world, smell the world. We're in a completely narcissistic state. And part of the problem with that is, as William Blake said, when the perceptions arise in their own way, they're infinite. You know, all for Blake, all the sense gates are gateways to infinity. And this is very much the Vajrayana point of view. A lot of times you hear in the Vajrayana it's said that this is about the experience of the world, and it's very sense-oriented, and sometimes we mistake that to think it's some kind of hedonism or self-indulgence. When it's said we should enjoy the world, we should enjoy what we see, what we hear, and so on. In the Western world, we often take that as a kind of narcissistic hedonism. But what it means is that we have to develop our senses so that the experience of the world is pure, and that we are receiving the experience of the world without all that investment, all that self-interest and narcissism. And when we do that, the sense perceptions become gateways to infinity. So, you know, I want to acknowledge that this is very challenging work that we're doing. And the important point here is that we're working with a model of, or an image of what a human being is that's very, very different from the ones that we find in the modern world, or largely even in our own Western traditions. Many times when a number of us study within the Tibetan tradition, we're exposed to the Mahamudra and Dzogchen, and we have a nice experience of space, but there is a sense that it's bounded and I'm still me, and it can be quite comforting, and an experience of a certain amount of freedom and so on. But the fact of the matter is that the unborn mind really is infinite in its extent. And in one sense, it's our unborn mind, you know, in the sense that it's the basis of our personality. But in another sense, it isn't ours at all. It's the nature of reality itself. Now, this is heavy. This is really heavy for us to begin to experience it. It's one thing to read about it in books, but when you start to see that, it's a very intense and very challenging experience. What happens is that we either feel a lot of fear, which is actually a very, I would say, honest reaction to it, or even, I would say, a very direct reaction, that we feel kind of afraid. We also feel often quite groundless. And a lot of times, it's interesting, we don't connect the groundlessness with the practices we're doing. But I want to just sort of say that, you know, there is an intimate connection between your relative state of mind and the practices that we're doing. Another very interesting reaction is that we become very angry and resentful. Have you noticed? And I mean, really, what anger is the small self trying to recreate its ground. And I mean, we have a number of ways of doing it. One is anger, another one is paranoia. Resentment is another way we do it. And we tend to personalize it. I'm angry because. I want you to kind of trace the connection between losing your territory for periods of time in the practice, which you may feel is fabulous and you may feel is not fabulous. I mean, it doesn't actually really matter what we think about it, but I want you to see the connection between the space, the newly discovered openness, and then the energy that comes out of that. Now, the thing is, it doesn't just happen for you. It happens for me. It happens for the meditation instructors. And you see, the thing is, there's no blame here at all, because that's just how it works. It's not like you shouldn't be angry or you shouldn't get paranoid. That would be completely missing the point. The point is that we actually do feel that way. It does come up. And, you know, what it is it's deeper levels of our own unresolved relative psyche that are making their appearance. And when they make their appearance, they are in the process of being resolved, strangely enough, simply by us doing the working with space. And then this is followed by, you know, upheavals. You know, we all go through these interesting upheavals. And they're really interesting. I mean, and I'm asking you to take a step back from your own upheavals and take a look. Well, that's really interesting, you know. Yesterday I felt this way, now I feel that way, and it's like night and day. Taking an interest in the upheavals. Now, here's the important point. If you can stay with the energy of it without judging it, it's hugely transformative. Now, here's, you know, the dynamic is there's a huge experience of space, or, you know, sometimes like the other day when we did the Maitri practice, and I was asking you, you know, feel the love for the world, extend yourself, feel tender and brokenhearted, love all the realms of being. The next day, people were incredibly angry, and they hated everything. That's the dynamic. And the practice of Maitri, it's incomplete if the only thing we feel is love for the world. There are parts of ourselves in our psyche, unresolved complexes is what they're called in depth psychology. You know, they're operational, functional ways of being that we've developed in our life, but now because they're primitive, we've pushed them under. They hear the call. I mean, this is really what's going on. These undeveloped parts of ourselves, the part of me when I was 6 months old and my mother got into this thing of let's let him cry himself to sleep, which is what my mother did, the level of rage that I experienced at 6 months old is absolutely, it's like cosmic. That part of me hears the love and the field of love that's being offered, and it makes its appearance. And up it comes. And it doesn't matter who enters my space, the rage, you know, that person is just by their human face is going to trigger that rage. And if we can hold that anger and hold the resentment and hold the hostility and hold the neediness and hold the sense of being, you know, worthless and hold the self-hatred, hold means not getting too involved with the storyline around it. You know, whenever we attach a storyline to an emotion, it's because the emotion is too painful. And we want to set it within some kind of manageable frame of reference, and so we create a story around it. I'm resentful of you because you have a lot of money. I'm resentful of you because you're prettier than I am. I'm resentful of you because you've been a meditator 2 years longer than I have and you think you're some kind of hot shit. You know, whatever the storyline is, it's because the fundamental energy itself is so difficult to be with. I mean, the storyline is going to come up, so that goes without saying. But if we can not, if we can let the emotion come up and let the storyline come up and not judge it, and not try to resolve it, but just simply be with the energy, something hugely transformative is in the process.
This teaching was taken from a longer talk Reggie gave at the 2010 Winter Datun Retreat held at the Blazing Mountain Retreat Center in Crestone, Colorado. To download the complete teachings from this retreat and to find a variety of audio listening guides to assist you on your spiritual journey, please visit dharmaocean.org/store.